Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers. Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering. I am AJ Murray. I'm back again, but don't hold your breath because I'll probably be gone soon. Andy, how you doing?
Hey, what's up? I'm good.
Good to see you. Good to see you.
I will lie to you and tell you I'm good and I had an easy day. Everything's good. My hot water heater busted today.
Oh, dude, that sucks.
That was hours of hell.
I think it's hilarious, though, because it forces you to say the word water.
water.
My hot water heater.
My water heater. How
my water John broke.
My water heater.
My water John broke.
John.
And then hours later, I'm coaching my son's baseball team, and I get a call from the mound. I'm pitching, and the fire department's on their way to my house because the smoke alarm went off. So I run like hell home to try to save my dog's life and see if my house is on fire. And it was a false alarm. So that,
oh my God,
that was my day, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so nothing really happened.
It was nothing really happened.
Yeah, so you really have nothing to complain about. Just a bunch of stuff that could have went wrong, right?
Well, besides the 40 gallons of water on my floor. Water in my basement.
Water.
Yeah.
Water.
I'm good,
Waiter.
Man. Thanks.
Water. Good thing you didn't take an exam.
A water exam.
A water exam.
An exam.
A water exam.
Exam. Exam.
Someday we're going to figure out what language that is.
It's Philly, man. Aaron, how are you doing?
I'm swell, thank you.
Yeah?
Yeah, I rent, so none of the above problems are relevant to me whatsoever. Bitch.
Every time something happens in my house, like, damn, I miss renting.
I know.
It's almost like you want stuff to happen. Like you force stuff. It's weird, actually, though, because, like our toilet broke once, and... You know, what would have taken me, I don't know, not that long, is just a process, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's actually in some ways worse, but yeah, from the financial aspect of it, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Whenever something goes wrong in my house, the first thing I do is look at YouTube videos and I try to decide, is this something that I can do or should I call somebody?
Yeah. You do this calculation where you figure out like what you make at work per hour and then figure out how much
you would
charge.
Or do I know someone that can do this for me?
That's a good one too.
Yeah.
It's always good to have friends in the service industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a friend who's a master electrician, and he saved my ass, man. Mm. I tell you what.
Well, the HVAC dudes, guys and gals out there, are nice to know too, because that stuff is.
I need an HVAC friend. That would be really great right now. So if you work with HVAC and for some reason listen to a network engineering podcast and need a new friend, you can find me on Twitter at NoBlinkyBlinky.
There's an IoT plug in there somewhere.
I'm very open to being your friend. We have a guest this evening. Before we introduce the guest, I have some wins to discuss. We got lots of winning going on in the winning channel in our Discord. If you're not there yet,
and Andy and I are really freaking bad at that. So thank you, AJ, for stepping back.
I heard you guys drop some wins. I listened to the episode that's going to drop next week.
We did. We tried our best in your absence, sir, but you can tell that we were flailing around like a bunch of school children without somebody to monitor the playground.
Jeez. Nailed it. No, you guys did great. Okay, so I went back as far as I could, and we'll start with screen name Lander passed the CCNA. Congratulations.
Oh, yes, gotta love a good CCNA pass.
The foundation. Incredible Goose passed their Encore exam. Incredible Goose.
The devil.
Okay. Tanaya started a new job at Spectrum.
Boom. You gotta love it.
Very nice.
And don't worry, Andy hasn't worked there, so he can't talk smack on it. I have though. And guess what?
Oh, that's right.
Great place to work. Great place to work.
Excellent. Gray Dollars. Gray Dollars, as they go by in the Discord, started a new job working as a Microsoft data center technician.
Wow.
They will be working in a data center that supports Bing, Xbox Live, Azure, and Office 365, among other services.
Yeah, that's cool stuff, man.
Sounds like a pretty awesome job.
I'm very happy for them. Does anybody use Bing, though?
By default, like if you accidentally open your Internet Explorer for whatever, or Edge. Or Edge.
Nobody uses Edge. And when you accidentally open Edge, Bing comes up, right?
Everybody, everybody's first double, like when you get a new PC or fresh Windows install, the first double click you do to go find drivers or something is a Bing pop-up. Yeah. So I wonder how many Bing like searches are drivers and updates. Yeah, or Google Chrome. Firefox or something. Oh, what's the Opera? They're looking for
Oh god, who the hell uses Opera?
I don't know, man. Throwback. Lycos.
Netscape.
All right.
Our friend Robin Canella recently accepted an offer as a cybersecurity engineer.
Ooh.
Dang. All right. Yeah, I like that one. That's sexy a cool title. Time. That's a cool
title. That's a sexy title right there.
Probably has a sexy salary, too.
Mm. Yeah, right?
Security.
Radiant Blue took a new job as an IT consultant.
Okay.
Word.
Like it. Consultant, that's not easy. That's a lot of on your own stuff there. Right. Takes some forward thinking and some self discipline.
Yeah, CISO type stuff, right?
Yeah.
Our favorite butcher turned network engineer, Chris. He's recently passed his CIS midterm exam and lab. Congratulations, Chris.
Oh yeah, he's in school. Yeah, good. Congrats, everybody. Nice. Thank you.
That's right.
Good job.
And last but not least, I think just today, our friend Martin, he's from abroad. He, I believe, was a couple months ago. He passed and got his CCNP security. So he went and took another exam, the Securing Networks with Cisco Firepower exam, and passed that specialization.
Whoa. Boom!
That's an exam.
Killing it. Yep, that is one of the specialization exams in the CCNP security track.
All right.
And I think that's the second one we've recently announced.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, another one. I vaguely remember that, and I was equally as puzzled. Like, what? What is it?
You know what though? Like, if you look at the CCNP security track, like, Firepower makes sense. That's very relevant.
Sure.
But then they have like a whole exam dedicated to their like email security appliance. And one, I didn't know Cisco had an email security appliance. And two, why is there an entire exam dedicated to that?
Well, hopefully it's easy.
I'm just asking. I don't know.
I mean, unlike, I'm sure it's not knowing Cisco, but you know, whatever. Congratulations, everybody.
Yes. Congratulations, everyone. If you have some exciting news, please drop that in the hashtag winning channel and we will be sure to announce that here.
Yeah. We'll put you up.
Absolutely.
Shout outs. Big
celebrate
shouts.
The wins. It doesn't have to be passing an exam. We love to share all sorts of wins. Got a new job, got something exciting going on in your life.
Having a baby, getting married, whatever.
That's right. Drop it in. We'll shout you out here. Okay. Right. Now it's time for the main event. We really need to invest in that soundboard.
What, you didn't like that?
The cheeky sound effects going. No, it was good. I just feel like we, you know, maybe have the soundboard.
Been a while since I sat down and did some rudiments, but I could get some stuff out for you.
I was going to expect more from a drummer, but I guess it was
needs to set. Where's the set?
Aw, snap.
So this evening we have Kevin Camacho joining us. Kevin works with Andy, and tonight Kevin's going to tell us what it's like to work with Andy. No, I'm just kidding. That's not why we brought him here. So this kind of dovetails in the conversation that you and Aaron had last week. You guys did a wonderful Knock Talk episode, and Andy had the great idea to bring on his coworker Kevin, who also came from a Knock and now does some really cool automation stuff. And we kind of want to hear how he got from A to Z. Kevin, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me. It's going to be great.
from the block to the knock, baby.
From the block.
Wait, hold up. Were you ever on the block? You were never on the block.
Right? Nah.
Well, he played football. Nah. Okay. He was an offensive lineman, so he blocked.
Yep. Okay, so from blocking to knocking. Oh, we just came up with that episode.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Dude, feel free to steal that.
All right.
So hold up. Yeah. Go back to that real quick. You played football? Hold on. Yep. Are you big? Like, because that's a big guy spot, the offensive line.
Tell them tell them what you bench pressed.
No. No, so I'm only 6'1". I played center, but at the time I was 290. So I was heavy.
Big boy.
So were you that big? Like, was this in high school? Were you just like a big kid? Like, you grew fast?
Well, yeah, I did grow. I kind of maxed out at my height pretty fast. I think by my freshman year, I didn't really grow much since then.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah, so then I played in high school. I wasn't as big. I got a scholarship to play at Wayne State College in Nebraska. It was D2 football, and so that's when I got bigger.
Nice.
Yeah.
So this is interesting to me because I always like hearing like actual athletes that are into technology, because back in the day, never the two shall meet. It was like,
yeah,
you were either a sports dude or you were me. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I didn't have many teammates. I think towards the end of my college career, I found, you know, like a freshman who was going into career or into IT, and I was like, oh man, it's pretty cool. You're going to love it. You know, but there wasn't many of my teammates that did that.
And you found, so. I bet you found it too, and you were like, oh my God, there is one. And he was like, dude, why are you talking to me so much? Like, like, it's not that cool. It's probably different now, though, if I had to guess. Like, nowadays, you know, I don't know how long ago this was, but I would imagine nowadays it's a lot more common just because there's a lot more people in the industry. And the services out there for the college courses and stuff like that aren't just necessarily catered to CIS or, you know, something along those lines. So it's probably a little more common, I would imagine.
Yeah, and, you know, we're growing up with technology, so you know, it's not that hard to you know, to get into. So,
what did you do at? You said it was Western Nebraska.
Wayne State College, it was called.
Wayne State, okay.
Yeah.
And did you got a degree from there?
I'm assuming?
Okay.
I actually started, you know, going into my freshman year, I started physical therapy.
Oh wow.
I thought I wanted to do something with sports. And then, you know, halfway through my first semester, I remember talking to my friend and I was like, man, I don't like this. And then I was sitting there, I was like, I love computers. Let's go find me an IT degree. And I had, I actually had no idea like what that even looked like, but I just made the switch, you know?
Yeah. You're probably not alone there. And also I think it's funny, like, like that conversation, especially you're like, I don't think I want to be a physical therapist anymore. This is boring. He's like, oh, you think that's boring? Check out these coding classes, dude. Yeah. You're going to love the hell out of twisting somebody's ankle. Trust me.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I
speak for myself on that one, I think. But okay, so you graduated there. Was it a computer science degree?
It was computer information system.
Okay, so CIS, right on.
Yeah.
So you then parlayed that into your first job, I would imagine, right? Did you ever use like your sports sort of, because I mean playing D2 ball is a pretty big deal, man, I'll be honest. Like, do you ever put that on your resume or try to flex that in situations?
I have it as like a college activity.
Okay.
So I also I put on there because my senior year I was a team captain. So I put that in there to try to, you know.
Oh yeah, leadership skills.
It's probably a good conversation starter, right? When people see that, they want to talk about that, right?
Surprisingly, people didn't really ask too much about it.
Okay.
But
well, if you're interviewing with IT people, like, oh, he did sports ball.
Yeah. They're like football. Fumbling through the papers. Which one is that again? Is that the one with the bat? Or the...
Yeah. But I didn't go from graduating straight into my job or into my career. I find this interesting. So like my very first 2 weeks in college, I had actually dropped out. I went from, because I'm originally from Las Vegas. I went from Las Vegas to Nebraska. I'm in a small town of 5,000 people, and I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, I wanted to go home.
From Las Vegas.
Yeah. And so I dropped out. One semester later, I decided, you know what, I can't quit. I'm going back. And at the end of my my bachelor's degree, it actually turned out to be a good thing because I quit, I had another season of football eligibility. So I ended up taking that spring off. I worked in a help desk for 3 months at a mining company. It was like a contract, you know, work. I wasn't a full-time employee.
So how'd you pull that job off? So this was IT help desk?
Yeah.
So how'd you pull that off?
I was in, you know, I was home for the semester and I just was just finding a job or looking for a job, you know, and somebody called me back. I applied for so many jobs. I don't even remember applying for that job.
Yeah.
And so there. So was somebody
this,
called
was
me
when you were
back.
A freshman or when you were a senior? Is this when you quit school first?
No. So this was,
was at the end.
At the end. Okay. At the end of my bachelor degree, but not at the end of, you know, my football career.
Yeah. But you had a degree and you got to help this.
Yeah.
Job, right. Okay.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
And I had, and I had my only my C-cent because I had a lot of, you know, a lot of free time, no job, no school.
You came out of school C-cent. With your C-cent?
Is that? No, I got that like a month or two after graduating.
Okay.
And then like a month later, I got my, I got that job. It was only a 3 month contract. And then I went back to school. I played my last football season and I started grad school. And at the end of that semester, I finally, you know, went back home.
Sorry, do you get networking class? Like, I failed out of CIS in like 2 weeks, so I don't know what the curriculum is. Like, are you introduced to networking there? Do you know when you get out, like, how that stuff works?
You know, looking back, a lot of stuff didn't make sense. Like, when I first started the networking job...
It still doesn't. Not for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's tough. You know, it was tough in the beginning, but I remember taking networking 1, 2, and 3... And 4, I took a web design class, took a server class. I remember that class because at the end of it, we got to do like a hackathon, which that was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I took a Java class, a C++ class, Cobalt. If you guys ever heard of Cobalt?
Oh, yeah.
Nope.
It's some coding.
They're still doing classes on it, though.
Yeah, it was, I don't know. So, I didn't like it.
How long ago was this, class? By the way?
Yeah, Cobalt is pretty old.
I graduated... with my undergrad in 2016.
Oh, so not that long ago. Right on.
Yeah.
All right. So you had some networking exposure, right? In college. Gotcha.
So you go to the help desk in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
right? So then while you're doing that, you still have another year of eligibility that you're going to play, right? So then you go back, and when you're in school, you're not working at all, right? There's just too much to do. Yeah. That's what I figured. So you play for another year, you win a Heisman. Then what happens?
And then I went home in December. I was still doing, you know, my grad courses.
Yeah.
It took me 7 months to find a job. And then I actually got a job at the same company that I had worked before. I worked there for 4 months. That was actually a really cool experience because I got it. So the company was called Barrick Gold. It's one of the biggest gold mining companies in the world. And I got an opportunity to go spend 6 weeks at a mine in northern Nevada, and I got to go like 2,000 feet underground.
Whoa. Oh, cool!
I almost got to
ever call you a gold digger.
No.
Wow!
Yeah.
Sorry, it was open. Yeah. It was there.
As a dad joke, right there.
But that was really cool. You know,
yeah, I don't know a single person other than you that's been in a gold mine. That's something. And Nevada, you guys. Nevada's more of a silver state, though, right? Like the mother lode, wasn't that all silver?
Yeah, I mean, people think of it as a silver state, yeah.
Yeah. All right. See, I got my history right. We Californians are known for our gold. Know what I'm saying?
And was that help desk, Kev, when you went back? Okay.
Yeah, it was called service desk, but, you know, essentially the same thing.
I mean, like at a mine, like what kind of IT? Don't take this the wrong way. I mean, you don't work there anymore, so that's cool. But what kind of IT infrastructure does a gold mine have? I mean, first, there's two ends of the spectrum. I imagine that like this could go either way. Like they either got way too much money, they don't know what to do with it, or they're just like, sorry, nope, everything is for giant trucks only.
I don't want to be the stereotypical guy, but like you watch that gold digging show on, you know, like Discovery Channel, whatever.
Yeah.
And those are not the people that I think of like wielding computers to like.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm going.
So I'm very curious.
Wielding computers. How does one wield a computer?
I mean, those guys, like they're fixing machines or working with heavy machinery. I don't see them like checking their smartphone for an email from the boss, you know, like.
You know, it was pretty interesting. At the time, I didn't know much about networking. I knew, you know, concepts from school, but like real enterprise networking, I have no idea. at the time. And so, I don't know. All I really knew was the ticketing system. You know, I helped people with their computers, some of the programs that they used, you know, made sure that their, you know, requests went through. I almost became an underground network technician, though, because I told them I wanted to find a networking job. And that was part of the reason that I went underground is to, they were kind of giving me a tour. And it was going to be mainly switching and Wi-Fi, you know, because they, as they dig new areas, they have to add Wi-Fi to that area.
Explain this. Okay, so this is rad, and we're not trying to gold mine this whole situation, but like this is interesting stuff as far as I'm concerned. You know me, I like to speak for everybody here, but I think like as far as like the people that we've even had on the show, clearly no one has worked in a gold mine before. So enlighten us, man, because no, we did not know that you needed to put Wi-Fi in every new section of the tunnel.
Well. I don't have the most experience. I only spent 6 weeks there, and I only went underground once. But, you know, I was, you know, trying to get that job in. They keep digging, you know. One of the cool things that I saw is one of the guys upstairs working on a remote control digger. So he got to sit upstairs and, you know, control the machine. Oh, yeah.
So wait, so was the Wi-Fi then for stuff like that so that he could control that?
To be honest, I don't... You know, I'm not really too sure. I think that was part of it. But you know, they
don't lie. Were they checking Facebook?
I don't know.
Were they tweeting?
You know, tweet. When
just struck gold.
Yeah. Check this out. Like, can you imagine? Just a big old chunk of gold. They're like, check this out. yeah, right, buddy.
One of the this might not be funny to anyone else, but there's a little note card you have to read before you go down. And or a little quiz, I think, and it asks you about the two-way, you know, roads down there. And then you go down there and you find out it's not a two-way road. So when you're driving, we had these little carts, you know, and
I'm just picturing Indiana Jones, by the way. Is this accurate or no?
The scene where the rock is, I would say there's no rocks, but it's pretty tight, you know.
Yeah, like the big boulder, and I'm talking about Temple of Doom. Where they're in the actual like mining cart and they're doing in the chase on the railroad tracks. Is there railroad tracks down there? First of all, can we get that out of the way?
No,
no mining carts.
No mine carts. My life's been a lie at this point. But go.
But it's intimidating because you know, you have to follow the rules, and you'll see like a big jammer or whatever they call the things that actually dig, and it'll come face to face with you. And if you know, if you're an idiot down there driving, like. You can potentially get ran over. You know?
Right.
So,
right.
So it was pretty, I was kind of scared a little bit, you know, luckily I had a, you know, good tour guide at the time, but it's intimidating, but.
So there's guys down there running cables and putting in access points.
Yes.
Yeah, so like, how deep are we talking? People? Like,
I have so many questions.
IT trained people that do this stuff or just like some minor guy that like helps out at home with his computer stuff? Like,
I do know that it's in the middle of nowhere, and they have a hard time finding, you know, IT talent.
Sure.
And I don't know, you know, some of those guys have IT backgrounds and whatnot, and but I think they've even pulled people who were like at the mine to be electricians, and they said, hey, you know, how about you come and do wiring for, you know, network?
Yeah, that's similar. I could see common, that. That makes sense. Yeah. Right on.
But
does it feel weird being down there though? Like, I feel like I'd almost be claustrophobic or something.
It kind of was. And to answer your question, Aaron, it was 2,000 feet underground, I believe.
So, like, almost half a mile.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, oh, and it's not going straight down, right? Like, so these tunnels just kind of, like, you get into one and it gradually goes down. And
it's an elevator.
No. I was going to
ask. The elevator takes you down.
You go straight down.
Yeah, you go straight down.
Oh, my God.
And then it branches out.
Yeah, and what's scary about the elevator is there's no lights on it, so as you're going down, it's just pitch black until you get to where you're going.
Oh, my God.
So the elevator ride is almost half a mile.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Nope. There's different levels.
Why can't they put a light on the elevator? It's got power. That's
dude.
Wait a second. How do they run access down there?
You guys have a full-blown access layer in the gold tunnel, and you can't even get a freaking light.
They got
bulb.
Wi-Fi 6 down there. They don't have the lights on the elevator. Man,
are there canaries in the thing?
Good question.
Good question.
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Okay. Yeah. All right, so we'll stop beating up the gold mine.
There was probably wireless canaries, so that way if they did die, you'd know about it.
Yes, IoT. It's like the moisture sensor. Yeah, we could do all that with technology nowadays. All right, so you had the help desk job. How long were you at the mining company, your second go-around?
I was there from July to October. It was only like 4 months.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
So then I remember sitting there in the little office, because they had what are they called? Like the, what are those things that you call them? They had in school, they were like classrooms like built outside.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like the trailers?
Kind of yeah. I don't know why I couldn't think of that word. But yeah, it was just like I was sitting in the trailer and I got an email from, for a knock position. And my first response was, where is this job at? I didn't even ask them anything, and happened to be in Omaha, and I was like, oh, this sounds like a really good opportunity. And, you know, the manager really sold me on it, and I decided I want to go back to Nebraska. Just want to get kind of away from home. Grew up in Las Vegas. I thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool to be somewhere else. So accepted the knock job and moved to Nebraska.
Oh. Hmm. Hey, wait, you're in Nebraska now?
Yeah.
No, okay.
Do you know Tim?
Yeah.
No, I was gonna say, we only know one other person, Tim Bertino.
That's right.
It's basically what happens, right? So, like, if we know a single person from any of those states, it's like, hey, do you know so-and-so? Even though there's only about 17 million of you in Nebraska, but, you know.
Yeah, but there's only, like, six IT guys, so.
Right.
Yeah, right.
They're all in our Discord channel. We should hashtag Nebraska, baby.
Kev, how was your interview with the NOC? Was it rough?
Actually, that was one of my better ones.
Okay.
You know, I had gotten beat up in a lot of previous interviews, you know.
Why do you think this one was so good, though? Like, what was so good about it, do you think? Was it just because you were able to answer all the questions they gave you, or did it just feel good? Were the people cool?
Well, number one, I got the job, so that's why I feel good about it.
Okay.
No, but...
That's fair, man.
The biggest clue that went well.
No, but, they were ready to move forward at the end of it. I don't know. I think I had got to the point where I was like, you know, I've heard so many rejections, you know, in all of my previous interviews. Who cares? I'm just going to do my best. You know, you just kind of, you know, aren't scared of rejection at that point because, you know, so.
What kind of company was this knock for?
Like fintech.
An ISP or? Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so after that interview, about 2 months later, I move into a friend's house here in Omaha, and I, you know, start my job. It was really interesting because I remember seeing what people were doing, and I was like, man, this stuff seems so advanced. I didn't even see this stuff in school.
You mean at the NOC?
Yeah, at the NOC. Sorry, I skipped ahead a little bit. But I remember, you know, like my first day at the job thinking just, I don't know. I thought it was so cool what people were doing, and even though it was like in networking terms, it's probably like simple. But, you know, I was so excited for my first networking role that everything was cool as soon as I got there. So
that's an interesting take, because I was actually just going to ask you. So, like, because I asked Andy this last week because I think it's important to bring up, because if anybody's listening that has not had or is trying to get, like, maybe their first job, you know, a lot of times it's help desk like you did, right? But sometimes it could be the knock, or maybe their first, like, post help desk job could be the knock. And it seems it's just like a really good spot to be. And what I was asking Andy, and I'm going to ask you the same thing, is, and you kind of already did address it, but so day one, like, you've never worked in a knock, and most of the stuff you probably heard in there was probably like, what? And I'm guessing, like, from a tools and, like, processes, like, perspective, like, all of that is completely brand new to you, right? How does one, first of all, not crap their pants thinking about that, right? and two, what's your approach then on a daily basis, knowing that you just, even, like, just standing in there, you hear a bunch of stuff that you've never heard before. How do you go about, like, grasping all of that so that you don't feel like you have no idea what you're doing, and that you could be, like, not necessarily the best, but one of the best?
You know, luckily for me, I'd say I had the managers, the engineers in there were extremely helpful. Like, they didn't make me feel pressured as I came in to, you know, that I need to know everything. You know, they helped me get that sense that as long as I'm trying hard, I'm learning, you know, every day I'm getting better, that, you know, it's okay. And plus, you know, my first 2 weeks were pretty slow, so that kind of helped me ease into it as I'm, you know, going and getting more comfortable. The first week was basically just paperwork.
Right.
And then the second week I was in a class, just me, the other new hires, and the engineer. And trainer was really good. You know, he's still there. The excellent engineers, you know, he was amazing. So having those other factors really helped me.
So you got a training in that training class. Was it all NOC folks? Or it sounds like there was other disciplines in there too, right?
No, sorry, I should have clarified. No, it was just me and the other new NOC hires.
Oh, okay. So it was all NOC folks. Okay, that's helpful. Yeah. So Andy, did you get a new hire class when you went to the NOC or no?
No.
They just kind of were like, here you go.
Yeah, it was all just shadowing and learning from people. There was no class.
Okay. So they just threw you in the fire, didn't they?
Yeah. Kevin, you said that, like, you know, you were in there, they sent you the new hire, but they weren't pressuring you to learn anything. So I have to think, though, that at some point they would have been like, hey, bro, get with it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to learn anything right away, but, like, there's, you know, it's kind of like when they give AJ unlimited PTO, right? It's because they're going to call you all the time when you're off, right? But it's the same thing. It's like, hey, no, dude, take your time. But then 2 months into it, they're like, how stupid are you, man? Like, come on, like, let's get with it. You know what I mean? Like, was there some sort of, like, there's a little bit of pressure there, right? If not from your own self, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it wasn't necessarily that there wasn't any pressure to learn. It's just the expectation that I didn't have to know everything today, as you know. So, and yeah, you know, I think I'm self-driven, and, you know, I motivated myself, and another thing that kind of really helped me there too is since I was learning new things every day, that was exciting. So, like, I came to actually love that job. And so I think that in itself, like, every day I was like, oh man, there's so much new stuff I get to learn, you know, it since it was so fun, I think that's kind of what helped me, you know, try to learn every day.
I think that's all perspective, honestly, because I feel like there's two ways you could take that. Number one, because it's a lot of stuff. So number one is like, this is overwhelming, I give up. And then the other is like, ooh, new shiny stuff, like every 5 seconds, right? And you're like, ooh, now this. Be more like Kevin. Be more like Kevin.
I mean,
less like Andy and more like Kevin.
I mean, I do understand the overwhelming perspective. It's, you know, there's a lot of technologies now, you know. It's hard to keep up.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, but, man. Because, like, okay, so this is why I'm trying to pick y'all's brain so much, is because, now, I'm not saying that I would ever try to get a knock position, but, like, I haven't had one. So when I look at it, just as I would if I was trying to get my first or second job or whatever, and I would probably look at that like, that's freaking overwhelming, because there's so much stuff. And, like, I mentioned earlier too, it's like, even if you went to school for like 12 years, you still go to a specific employer, and they're going to have different tools. They're going to have a ticketing system that is not the same program that you're used to, or, you know what I mean? There's always just like these, like, nuances and stuff like that. So how does one then, like, just take it as it comes, right? Because me personally, I know if I looked at it and I got there day one, I'd be like, yeah, this is about as much anxiety as I'm going to have. Cause it's just going to keep escalating for me, because I'm going to find something new. Like, you get excited about it. I find something new, I'm like, oh great, now something else I need to worry about. Right. Kind of like Andy. So what's your secret, dude? Like, is this just a mindset on, like, oh, it's cool, it's new stuff.
I don't know. I would say the most important thing is I know that I'm going to spend a ton of time at work, so I'm going to enjoy it. You know, and so I think that that's kind of where my mindset comes. If I have to spend this much time, I'd rather not be miserable for 40 hours a week, you know? So might as well enjoy
it. There's a lot in that right there.
Yeah, so that's just kind of how I approach it. And, you know, I just try to be as positive as I can, you know?
Yeah, well, you're doing a good job at it, I can tell you that. So Andy tooted your horn for you. And apparently you're, like, one of the best at the knock ever to walk this earth. So teach us your secret here. So what, because, you know, day one, you don't know anything. You're the low person on the totem pole, obviously, if not just for tenure. But how do you then, after all of this stuff, get to, now you're the dude at the top?
I'm not going to toot my horn, you know, like Andy.
Too late. Now you just have to explain it. The horn's been tooted. Now you just got to give us the sheep music, because we don't know.
Sorry.
Yeah, secret sauce. So I think to add a little bit of perspective to this too, day one, okay, what day are we on now? How long have you been doing that job? Or are you still in the knock job, or did you... We haven't got to that part of the story yet, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I started that position in October of 2018.
Okay.
And then this past September, I'm now a network engineer. So I was... I went from just a knock technician to network engineer after almost 2 years.
Yep.
So, I don't know. I like to give, I think, I've only been in one company as far as, in the network, as a networker, network mm-hmm. engineer or whatever. And so I don't know what it's like at other places, but I think I was put in an environment where I had the opportunity to thrive because of all of the technologies. I had great engineers to work with. And the NOC, we were also given a ton of freedom to, actually do troubleshooting, deep dives, troubleshootings. Our goal was not to, pay the engineers. Our goal was to solve it ourselves.
Mm.
And so since I actually got that, experience, I think that was extremely helpful. And, the engineer that was on my shift, he is extremely smart and he was a great trainer. So that's what I'll say,
Plus, those people can't teach everything, right? Because, like, let's say you were in the class, right? Then now you're not in the class. So it's like, okay, well, you have notes maybe, but, like,
mm-hmm.
There's still a lot that you have to do on your own. Like, mm-hmm. here's what I'm trying to do, Kevin. So walk with me, talk with me. So, like, just pretend that it's my first day at the NOC, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the best advice you can give me?
That's a good question.
So, like, I'm assigned to be with you today, right? And you're like, look, bro, it's a long journey, my friend. But here's what you need to make sure you do.
Stay away from that laptop guy.
Done.
I actually talked to the new NOC hire the other day.
Okay.
And he was in, he was with the engineer, and he asked me, he's like, can you just give me some advice? And I just told them, just every day, just come and put effort and make sure you have the will to learn, because you have an amazing opportunity in front of you. As long as you're hungry, you have the opportunity. Mm. That's kind of what I told them.
I think that's some really great advice, like not just for the NOC either, right? Like mm-hmm. any IT job, any job really, mm-hmm. come hungry.
So when you say hungry, you mean like just don't be satisfied, like just keep asking questions, like what does that look like exactly? So like if you tell somebody, hey, be hungry, like what is it you're hoping they get out of that? Are they like anything they need? They're like, hey, ask the smart person type of thing.
So Kevin, are we talking about curiosity? Like, are you a curious dude?
I am. I would say that.
Yeah.
Just ask all the questions. We have all the technologies here, so if you need to study, you want to look something up, you have it there in front of you. Just put in the work, It's a really bad explanation of being hungry,
Well, no, I know, and that's why I'm trying to get to the thing, because the reason why I'm doing it is because you have, whether you have just learned this or not, maybe this is just an epiphany for you, you have a secret sauce. So there you go. Congratulations. You have a secret sauce. Now tell us what the hell the secret sauce is, bro. Stop holding out.
That's going to cost you.
I mean, to be honest, I'll just say if there's one thing, and I know this is broad, I know I've repeated myself, but just my enjoyment of it. Like this is, I've built a passion for what I do. And to be honest, the saying is that, you enjoy what you do. You never work a day in your life. So every day I go to work, I don't even look at the clock anymore. Just kind of just work. And I enjoy it.
Wow, dang! You're like an anomaly, dude.
And having worked with Kev for a while, I'd probably put a pin, a point on that passion. You know, when you meet somebody, if they love what they're doing and they're into it and they're curious and they're digging in. I mean, all day, every day, he's just constantly digging into the next, new technology that we're presented with, and excelling at it. The reason I tooted your horn, Kev, before, and I've said this before, but just to like level set us. So mm-hmm. I know we're not there in the story yet, but when Kevin got hired and came on the team that I'm on, I was like, oh, great, a guy from the NOC. Sweet. Like, let me set up a call with him And, you know, I'll help him get acclimated. I'll show him how to do this job.
Is that because you had the knock experience? Is that why you're
doing it? Because I came from a knock and he came from a knock. And kind of like you're saying, Aaron, when you walk into a new environment, it's pretty intimidating.
Yeah,
going
for sure.
From a mine to a knock and then going from break fix at a knock to like building on a global scale. It's pretty heavy. So I'm like, you know, let me just bring this. I'm going to take this boy under my wing and like help him out. And I swear to God, 5 minutes into the call, I'm like, oh shit. Like this
like, what's up, old man?
Well, no. Yeah. I'm like, this dude is smarter than I am and I'm trying to help him. So like, it was very humbling for me. Like, oh wow.
He flipped it on you.
Yeah. Well, I realized he knew more than I did. I'm calling him in to help. So ever since that call, I've renamed it the Kevin call and he just helps me for an hour a week when we get on, but it was a call for me to help him. He's just incredible.
He flipped the script on you. So what Kevin was saying, like, is stay hungry. You know, you were trying to, because Kevin, I get the feeling he doesn't necessarily take people under his wing. He just goes, yeah, get hungry, dude, and then picks them out of the nest. You know what I mean? He's like, all right, you know, it's game time, baby. Sink or swim.
You think that's what just Kevin does? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because that's what he's like to other people.
He's taken me under his wing in my automation journey.
I'm talking about new hires, right? Like because his best advice is like, hey, stay hungry, right? Yeah. Which is like, it's kind of like the, you know, Kevin, you're a center, right? So like, yeah. They always say the quarterback has like intangibles, right? Like in the locker room, right? Like, how do you quantify, you know, it's a passer rating doesn't quantify, you know, the things you do for the team and how you cheer them up and all that other kind of stuff, right? So that's I feel like that's kind of like what you got too, because you're having a hard time putting a name to the ingredients. You know what I mean? You're like, just do it. Like, I don't get it. Like, why can't you just be good at your job? Like, are you stupid?
No.
And I guess the answer is, yeah, I am kind of good.
No, I love actually, you know, knowledge sharing and teaching others when I can. You know, towards the end of my time in the NOC, you know, because it was shift work, so I worked Thursday through Saturday and every other Wednesday. On Saturdays when it was slow, I actually would just pick a topic and we would just review it together so that we could all just kind of learn and
smart.
So I don't know. That's selfishly, you know, I enjoy that, but it's also a way for me to learn, you know, by helping teach people, you know, kind of solidifies that in me too. I guess
that's really cool though. So did you just have like a team meeting where you guys would just go over a certain topic or?
Yeah. You know, well, before COVID, we actually got to sit in the office together.
Oh yeah.
But we weren't.
Is that what they were? Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I guess we weren't spread out across the country. So you know, we were all in the same location. And then afterwards we just sat in the meeting for the entire shift. So when we got sent home.
Dang.
But
so you guys were just cranking it out then. So how long were you at this knock job before you got stuck with Andy?
A year and 11 months, yes.
So what made you want to leave, or what made you look?
I don't know. I thought I was ready. You know,
it's
I
at the same company though, right? It's like a promotion. He didn't like leave,
right?
Yeah. No, well, no. Technically, how I got the job was.
Hey, listen to this. This is good.
I actually don't really like telling this because I
tell it.
I don't know, it's kind of whatever.
You create. Just tell.
I thought I was ready to move to engineering. I was like, you know what, I'm going to give it a shot. I actually saw a posting on LinkedIn. One of my old teammates' dad is a director of network engineering company. And so I saw him post a opening. I applied for it. You know, and I told my job. I was like, hey, I'm going to have a position. I think I'm going to take it, an offer. And so I think about 12 hours later or the next day or something, they were like, yeah, we don't want you to leave. So here's a network engineer position here. And so I stayed.
They created a wreck for him in less than 24 hours.
Holy dude, cow. You, first of all, back up.
This doesn't happen.
No. First of all, that's called extortion. So,
retaining top talent is
I just love
move.
How nonchalant you were, and they were just like, yeah, because like we try to help folks out with like ideas on like, you know, how to negotiate salary, how to do this and that, right? And you're just like, hey, so I'm bouncing, and then you just kind of ghost them, and then 12 hours later they're like, here's a position that we just made for you. What no. like, what did you say?
I gave my manager a heads up on Friday, and I said, hey, on Monday, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get this offer. You know, like the recruiters, I asked for the weekend, and so then Monday morning comes, and I sent them a text message. I said, basically saying that I think I'm going to accept this offer. You know, I have it. And then he responded and said, give me some time. I'm going to make some phone calls. And in my mind, I'm like, I'm just going to wait an hour. I didn't apply for this job to create this, you know, chaos.
Right. Exactly. That's you what know? I'm kind of getting at. Cause I feel like, you know, I joked about extortion, but that's what you would do if you were trying to extort your current company, right? Just go kind of look and then tell them, hey, I was looking. And then they're like, ah, oh, by the way, but that was not your motivation, right? You were just genuinely like about to get a new job.
I truly believe there was no way that I was going to get the position that I wanted at my current company. Wow. I was like, cause there was only one group. Cause you know, there's different engineering groups. And so there was only one group that I wanted to be a part of. And I was like, there's no way. There's just no way I'm going to get that job. So I found another engineering job, and an hour goes by. I'm like, I'm going to sign this. And I kept talking to my fiance. I was like, I'm going to sign this. And she was like, just wait, just wait, just wait. And so it got stretched out over a day. And then it was, for me, it was a no brainer. I was like, I want to stay. That's the job that I want. But, you know, it ended up working out. But if I could apply to it at the beginning without having to get another offer, I would have, you know.
But there wasn't a position, though. So you created an opportunity for yourself. It was really smart, in my opinion.
On accident.
Yeah. I mean, it worked out. I can't complain.
I don't think anybody thought you were.
Yeah.
It's like, most of us are like, oh my God, a job offer. Like you said, after like 7 months of like applying, and then you're like, hey, it's like when it rains, it pours, right? Like, hey guys, I'm leaving for greener pastures. They're like, that's what you think. And they just shove a bunch of money in your back pocket. You're like, and good luck walking with all that money in your back pocket.
And, like, and I've mentioned this before, but when I was at Anoc, Kevin, and I applied externally and I got offered an engineering job, there was no retention offers.
They
or
told
calls.
You to pound sand.
Yeah, they got a real funny look on their face and they were like, you'll be back.
No, they got a little funny look on their face. They were like, God, it took you long enough. Get the hell out of here, dude.
Yeah.
So that
don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Yeah. I think it's a cool story, but I always hear that, like, there's a reason. This is a completely unique case in this regard, because you always hear, like, okay, so if you're looking elsewhere and you got an offer and then your current employer comes at you with money and a position and like promises and stuff, that you should still sit back and reflect and be like, all right, why was I leaving this company to begin with? But I think for you, it's completely different though, because like, it was because you couldn't get the job that they just like threw at you immediately when you tried to leave. Right. Like, I mean, that's when does that happen?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I guess I got lucky. You know, when I was looking, I mean, I still loved the Anoc, you know, like that was an amazing experience. It's just, I didn't want to do the shift work anymore. You know, I felt like engineering wasn't, you know, advancing. So I was like, I think I'm ready, you know, so.
So how do you know, like, cause it took you, you graduated like 5 years ago. So like, how do you know, what is your internal clock? What does Kevin's clock say when he's ready?
Well, now that I'm engineering, I don't know. I don't know what, you know, what my future is going to hold. I don't know if I want to look at architecture. I don't know if I want to look at management. Because my master's, for example, was in organizational management. But
Wait, you have a master's degree?
Yeah.
Oh, you just glossed right over that. Like, dang, I didn't even finish
graduate school earlier.
Yeah, I did mention. So.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Didn't know you actually finished it though.
Yeah. So just a quick to catch us up. When I went back to play football, so some people, what they do is they go back, they take nonsense classes just to play, you know? They're like, oh, I'll just take a bunch of
art,
art, music, anything. And then they don't go to class and then they get to play. But I thought, well, I'm not going to go and waste time. If I'm going to do something, I'm going to try to accomplish something. So I started my master's and I actually graduated this last December. I took a year and a half off because I got burnt out. But the reason I mention that is because, you know, that's why sometimes I think about management and I just don't know. You know, I guess we'll see. I'm really enjoying engineering for now. So,
yeah. Well, how long have you been doing this current job now?
You know, 6.5 months.
So based on, it's been 6 months now. So based on where you are now after 6 months and where you were after 6 months in the knock, how do they compare? Easier, harder, different?
I'd say it's different, you know, because in the knock, I didn't really know almost anything about enterprise, you know, networking. So for me, everything was brand new. You know, I didn't, if you ask me like what a normal knock is like, I don't know. Cause you know, I've only been at one, one company. I don't know. Everything just kind of seemed brand new at the time. And now I can actually, now I can put things together and it, you know, it makes sense to me. Like I can say, okay, this new technology, how does that fit in with what we're trying to do? You know, and I think learning is easier because I have more of a, you know, more experience.
Now, are you currently doing like break fix stuff or is it just like project work?
Project work. Mainly project work and, you know, just clean up, trying to automate
Andy's crap. Yeah, Andy's the breaker, the fix. We got it.
So it's
a combo.
Talk
right?
about automation real quick because I do call you Automacho for a reason. So like
Automacho. Also, Kevin, first of all, I think you were destined to be in the WWE with that name. There's nothing like crazy about your name. It's just very like, how do I put this? Like, if star studded, I don't know. Like, it's like a name somebody would change their name to. You know what I mean? Like Charlie Sheen, right? Like, you know, like that type of thing.
Well, my dad's name is Hector Camacho, but
oh my god,
he's not the boxer, you know. So, but I've been asked that question before.
I didn't want to like. I didn't want this episode to end without us commenting on how badass your name was. So. Kudos to that, Kevin Camacho.
What do you call him? Automacho?
Automacho?
So he took, automate. There's a big push, you know, with automation, obviously everywhere, but where we work. And he's just, in my mind, spearheading it. So I used to call him Macho Camacho because his name is so cool. And then when he became my automation guru, now he's just Automacho.
Automacho.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Andy's too nice. You know, I think I'm doing well with automation, but you know, there's still so much to learn. Yeah, I would, you know, guru's a little too nice. You know, I have way too much to learn, you know.
Well, that's an interesting way to look at it, but I think that the perspective coming from Andy is that you've already learned enough, buddy. You know, like, you know, it's good to be humble, but I think that you're more of a dude. And the reason why you probably feel like there's always so much to learn is because you do stay hungry all the time. Like, so for instance, I'm just guessing this. So your automation journey was probably like someone at work tasking you with something. And you were like, yeah, I could do that. Maybe Google it or something. And they were like, dude, I could automate the hell out of this. And then you were just picking up little tools here and there, right? To fit into like a bigger puzzle of what specifically you were trying to get done. I mean, that's basically what automation is, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, you may not have like some piece of paper somewhere that says, you know, Automacho. Although we might at some point get you Automacho. I'd wear an Automacho shirt, not gonna lie. but I'm guessing you're just like putting tools together based on your current need, which makes you feel like, because that's how I feel too. Like if I build something for a specific need and somebody said, hey dude, are you good at automation? I'd be like, no, I did like one thing that was specific to what I needed to do, you know? Mm-hmm. And that I would be just like you. I think I would be very hesitant to be like, yeah, I'm good at that, because what I'm really good at and what I meant to say that I was good at, which is, and I'm speaking kind of for you here, is that like, you're just curious. So you find something, you do it, and voila, it works.
Yeah. I mean, right? I mean, Google's my best friend.
Yeah. Oh, know? Man, we needed to hear that.
I feel like if you work in IT and you're not like, wow, there's a lot to learn here, then you're not asking the right question. Yeah, if you don't have the right.
Well, people always talk about the imposter syndrome. So, like, because Andy has imposter syndrome to you, Kevin. So who do you have imposter syndrome to?
Oh, you know, Andy would tell you, we have some brilliant people on our team. So
yeah,
it is. Those guys, you know.
Very intimidating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Do y'all two ever just like team up beforehand? You're like, all right, everybody in this meeting we're about to go into is smarter than us. Let's make them feel stupid as hell. That's something I would.
You know, that's funny that you mentioned that because that has happened. Me and Andy have talked and we're like, all right, this is how we're going to go in prepared. If we get any pushback, this is our ammo.
Oh, dude, I love that. You guys are strategizing.
It's like a chess game talking to these people.
Yeah. Hold on, let me get my note cards out. You're like, what did you ask me again?
I don't think any of them are preparing to talk to us. Okay.
No. They were in the back of their head. They were like, wait till these two idiots get on. Right.
What are the new guys going to come up with here?
Yeah.
Let's just stay quiet, make them feel like they have a point, and then later on we'll just crush them.
Yeah, you accidentally get carbon copied on an email. You're like, those two idiots were coming up with the wackiest ideas. You're like, no.
Yeah.
So you're on a team with Andy now. How long have you been there? For 6 months then?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So how's that going? How is he? Give us the scoop, man. Like, give us your God's honest answer.
What's the Yelp review on Andy?
Yeah. Yeah, what,
two stars all, would not dine with again.
No, let's. No, that's a. I like the rating system, but I think we should start where. What are his shortcomings? Let's start there. Like, what is he missing?
We only have like 10 minutes left in the podcast.
Yeah.
This is what I say. There's two Andys in my mind.
And
This is what I mean. This is what I mean.
Has he told you to get off his lawn yet?
No. And,
no. Okay. All right.
You know what?
Okay.
When I first got to know Andy, he was, in my mind, I'm like, wow, this guy is always studying. He's doing a podcast. Like, he's motivated and determined, and you know, this guy's great. You know, Andy at the beginning motivated me a lot because I was like, you know, you seem so busy. You got kids. You know, I don't have kids yet, so I have no excuse. You know, but you're doing the podcast, and you know, you're helping out the community. So I thought that was awesome. And you know, now that I get to have gotten to know Andy more, you know, I get to see more of the, you know, the real Andy. You know, which is nothing wrong. You know, I don't mean to say that in any sort of negative way.
Are you disappointed?
No.
They're like, he's really not that busy. He's just got a ton of excuses.
No, I said that poorly. I don't mean that in a negative way, but you know, more. You know, I get to actually interact with you. You see your real feelings on things. You know, so I think it's pretty cool. You know, I really enjoy working with Andy. It's a lot of fun, to be honest.
How bad does he shit talk us?
Yeah. It doesn't.
Don't lie.
He loves what you guys have made here, and you know, the community. It's amazing. So,
well, no, dude. I mean, you're a part of it too now. So, congratulations. Yeah. You've officially become a part of the family. So, just like everybody else that we've interviewed, and also everybody in our Discord channel. So,
I got one quick story.
All right, hit us.
I was helping my friend pick up a table. From a house. The guy was moving from Omaha to Georgia, and I found out he was a network engineer. And I asked him if he ever heard of you guys. At the moment, he said no, so I encouraged him to join the Discord. So
nice.
I don't know if he did. Hopefully, he did. You know,
hey, if he did, have him. He'll hear this. Hopefully, maybe, and then he'll say something. Maybe make himself known. Hey, you've been outed, man. Hold on. Kevin outed you.
Message in there real quick.
Camacho man, Randy Savage.
So Kevin, I got to ask, and for our listeners, you know, you kind of took on automation, and you know, at some point, automation was new to you. So, is there like a, I don't know, a real quick like major ROI automation skill that you would encourage people to, you know, look at or pursue? Like, what are some of the things that you guys are doing with automation? What are some of the tools that you're using? You know, if they're not proprietary, is it something that's, you know, some available to like anyone and everyone?
I will say, you know, there's a ton of stuff in automation, and I actually feel overwhelmed some days when I think about it, but you know, just Python and Ansible, just, you know, get good at those things. And I think everything else kind of helps, you know, build on top of those things. But I think those are your core, you know, on automation. I started the 100 Days of Python course. I absolutely love it. That instructor is amazing.
Yeah.
So, just say, you know, just learn, you know, learn Python and Ansible the best that you can. And
yeah, I would agree with that.
Along with the 100 Days of Code course, any other resources you found particularly useful to get going?
What are your recommendations, man?
Google. I don't.
We'll drop some links in the show notes.
Yeah, man. No pressure, though.
To be honest, I remember I took the some random course. I can't remember the name.
Is that Udemy or something?
No, it was a website kind of like Udemy, Pluralsight. I took their Python course. Honestly, mostly Google. I at the moment I'm having a hard time following like a curriculum because everything I just want to Google what I want to know, you know. So
dude,
I just,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
So
cut out the fluff. Just what?
Well,
you
yeah, there's always fluff. Like, and it's not just like textbooks, right? But it's right. Like mm-hmm. Okay, so you named Ansible and Python. Those are two very networking friend. Obviously, Ansible, but Python is very friendly to network engineers. You know, there's packages for networking equipment. There's all types of stuff. And so, to go through a whole Python course, like the first parts of it, sure, you know, that makes sense. Like, what is a variable? You know, what is a string? That type of stuff. But then it's like, all right, dude, I need to get into some Cisco squishes here. Like, you gotta let me, because otherwise, it's like. Like, I mean, it's cool and all, and I just don't have that kind of appetite. So I think you did the right thing by figuring out where the two best places to start are, and then basically just Googling your way out of it, right?
Yeah, and I'm kind of at the point where I'm increasing my skills in those two areas, but as I'm looking, you know, outwards, that's where it's kind of get overwhelming because sure. There's a whole different mindset on developing, continuous development at. You know, and you just got to change how you work, and that's kind of the tough part. But, you know, you just kind of tackle it bit by bit, and you'll get there. So,
yeah. So, Kev, or you'll be like me and never get there.
You're studying DevNet Associate, right? That's what you're working on right now as a cert?
Yeah, I actually failed that test yesterday.
Oh, sorry. We didn't mean to do that to you on purpose. Way to go, Andy.
Well, there's a reason I'm asking if you'd be quiet long enough, Aaron. So,
yeah, well, that's not going to happen.
I know. So do you feel that curriculum is, like you're saying, the CI/CD pipeline stuff's like kind of tough and getting that developer mindset. Is that a good base of knowledge to make that shift in mindset? How's the DevNet Associate curriculum doing to get you
there?
For me,
I think it, you know, it has some really strong topics. For me, what's hard with the textbook stuff is putting it all together. And what I mean by that is, it's hard for me to take those topics and picture what it looks like in a real scenario.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Yeah.
So I do think there are some very interesting things in there and very helpful things, but you know, nothing's going to beat experience. It's how I view it.
Yeah. Until you like start working on a team that's all in on that kind of workflow. It's hard to understand how it actually works. Yeah.
It's interesting though. Like this like backdoor approach, right? Which I think is actually better, which is, you know, Andy's always bitching about it, by the way. I got to learn this now. I got to learn this
That's
now. I gotta
so
learn
much.
This.
The whole community so says much. It. There's just so many things to
I
learn.
Know. I think you're better off, though, kind of just doing what you are, like Kevin does, where it's like, all right, well, I need to do something. Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let me Google it. Let me figure it out. And then, like, you know, 2 months from now, you take the 100 days of code, and they're, like, backfilling all these specifics when – I think the instinct is to want to take the 100 days of code thing first. So then you're like, okay, you're taking notes all like religiously, like, okay, what is a string? What is a variable? You know, what is all this stuff? And then it's like, you know, is any of that really important? Yeah, of course it is, right? It's like bytes and bits. But like the important thing is that like I can get this program that I just wrote or the script that I just wrote to log into a Cisco router, validate itself, and let me run a couple of show commands, right? That was the whole idea. You could figure that out in probably a couple of hours, right?
Get your use case. You know, that's a lot of motivation.
Yeah, back yourself into it. That's kind of my idea, right? Where it's
that,
like,
that was,
you know,
my major struggle with automation is I was just overwhelmed by the whole thing because it's just like I have to learn all this new stuff. But what really kicked it for me was exactly what you're saying, Aaron. I found a specific use case to do what I was trying to do, right?
Yeah.
And I figured out, you know, the whole, whatever you want to call it, script kitty, whatever, I don't care. But I figured out how to program the language to do what I was trying to do. And then along the way, I started, well, now what is that? Why do I have to put that weird symbol there?
You know, exactly. Like, yeah.
And
yeah,
then,
yeah.
And then it's like you start reading into that a little bit more and you start kind of going that way. I think that's the easiest way from a network engineer trying to get into automation. I think that's the easiest route personally.
That's good feedback. I think you're right because we don't think like that. I know Andy, who was just talking about like have the CICD thing, and like, and Kevin, you brought it up. It's like kind of hard wrapping your head around that at first because we come from a completely different world. But it, when you're using automation, not as automation as like a thing by itself, but like a little piece of something is a, just a tool of mine that I found on the internet that like I could do. And then kind of like how Dan was saying, like, all right, well, why the hell do I have to put that in there? Because what ends up happening is that, because coding is so finicky, right? Is like you accidentally leave that out one time and the whole thing doesn't work. And you're like, oh, how the hell did that happen? Oh, I forgot to put a freaking
like, indent something and then the whole thing.
Yeah, goes. Or an apostrophe or something ridiculous. You know
did
what I mean?
Did you space and then, it out or did you tab?
and then,
there's
like,
an argument there.
If you're anything like me, you do the same thing. I'm sure you guys all do this too, where you'll have the code and it like does a specific thing. And you're like, okay, well, can I change this one part to do that? Or what in here is causing this to happen? And then you go to try to change it and the whole thing doesn't work. And then you're trying to figure it out. But then that helps you too, right? Because you're trying to figure that out too.
It's like, where's the glue at? What ties this to this kind of thing? You know?
To add to that, I think, you know, once you have your first use case, on your second use case, you find little bits and pieces from that first use case to add.
Exactly.
So it's just building on top of that and you know, things just start to make sense.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think anybody really needs to be overwhelmed by the prospect of networking or coding or, you know, automation or whatever, right? Because automation is, in its simplest form, is like, you know, maybe a line, you know, there's nothing to it, right? And same with networking. It's like, I'm just trying to get one computer to talk to another computer. That's all.
I mean,
right?
Technically...
You don't even need any devices. You don't even need to plug them in. If they both have Wi-Fi connections, they can talk to each other by themselves. That's all you need, right?
I mean, technically, you can view automation as just a process. If you just write out what you do and then do that over and over again, that's automation. And then slowly, that can turn into code. You know?
Yeah, like what am I doing that's like so repeatable? Could I get something to do that for me?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah, like if you guys haven't picked up that book, Automate the Boring Stuff, like it's a really good book. Just there's a lot of like weird stuff in there, but... it's what'd you say, Dan?
Book club
Automate the Boring Stuff. I have Automate the Boring Stuff, and you know, 80-20 principle, y'all, that's how I roll. Any last words, Kevin the Macho Camacho, Automacho?
K-Dog, your Twitter handle,
Casey?
No,
Automacho.
No, I don't know. I guess if I want to build a brand, I'll use it, you know.
Go grab that quick. You better go. Yeah, you better go.
Hold on.
Get
let's
that.
Go ahead and get that for you real quick.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, you know, thank you guys for having me. This has been great. You know, I love what you guys have done. And, you know, I see all the time on LinkedIn people reaching out to you guys and saying, you know, you guys have motivated me. Thank you. And you guys have built a great community.
Well, thank you. You know, we appreciate that, but you were part of it too. Like I dragged you into it earlier. Remember that? You're part of it now too. Yeah. So, but keep this in mind that like the reason why it works so well is because of folks like yourself coming on here, telling your story. The more you tell the story, the more people tell the story, the less pie in the sky your position or Annie's position or AJ or Dan, the less pie in the sky those positions look. Right. Because especially when you're starting out walking the gold mine, right, at half a mile under the ground. Like, I mean, you know, I guess the only way to go is up from there, right? Ooh, I'll be here all day, folks. Don't forget to tip your waitress. Anyway, that's it for us. We'll put all of Kevin's stuff in the show notes. Kevin, you didn't have any final words for us?
If you want to share socials, LinkedIn, anything you want us to drop in the show notes if people want to follow you.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. It's just, I only have Instagram and just KevCam0, and I'm also in the Discord.
Ah, perfect. Awesome. So people want to pick your brain about knock from blocking to knocking, then they can come to you.
Yeah, I'm open to talk to people, so if they want to reach out, they can.
Yeah, I didn't want to volunteer you there, but you seem like a pretty open dude, so I wanted to make sure if you were too shy to say it, I was going to say it for you. Because what, I am not too shy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the message, you know. If I'm busy, I just ignore it. But you know, I'm open to
you. don't take it personal.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us, man. I know. You know, you take time out of your night to join us, but we really appreciate it. So, thanks for sharing your story too, because there's a lot going on. No one's gonna call you a jock. We promise. But if you haven't, if you're watching this on YouTube, if somehow this made it to YouTube, please like, subscribe, comment, do all that stuff, because you know what? It helps out the algorithm, and we just talked about automation, and guess what? Those have algorithms too. So pick up a book and read something, would you? Because we need you to like this video. Otherwise, no one's going to see it, and we don't need other people stealing all of our juju. Additionally, get in our Discord channel, because there's a ton of folks in there nowadays, and gosh, if the information is just like swelling up like a balloon, and we've heard from other places too, from other folks who were in other Discords who have subsequently quit said Discords because they got into ours and they're like, holy moly, you guys are actually helping people, and it's actually a community where people are talking to each other and sharing ideas, and like AJ started this whole show out with, sharing wins, for goodness sakes, like what a concept. So we're not just sitting around there, you know, picking our noses, which, you know, Kevin, you can probably vouch for it too. We have different channels about different subjects and, you know, subject matter experts. We have people, gosh, everything. We have recruiters. We have, you know, resume. And everybody that's not in the industry, there's like, you know, a good mix of people that are already in the industry that have been there for a while, people that haven't been in the industry that are trying to break in. And, you know, we can all share off of that knowledge. And, you know, whether you're trying to get your first job or whatever, or trying to study for a cert or anything along those lines, or if you've been an industry veteran for 30 years, like, all are welcome, because we have the entire gamut of what I just named off. So if you're not in there, get out from underneath that rock on Mars with your boy Elon. What's that, AJ?
I said join us.
AJ, what's the word of the day?
One of us. Automation.
Automation.
60,000. That's the word of the day.
60,000. That's how many of you guys keep downloading this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, because you know what? Again, it's helping out the algorithm. It's helping out our juju. It's popping up everywhere. So for all of us at the Network Art of Network Engineering podcast, thank you for joining us this morning or evening, however you're listening to us in your car or at home, sitting at your desk while you should be working. See ya!
Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Art of Net Eng. That's Art of NETENG. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.